Well, we're going to come to Mark chapter 4 this morning, and we're going to look at just a few verses together. And as we do that, I thought I'd share with you a story about a captain, a story that I heard some time back about a captain who was out at sea. And it was a dark night, and a thick fog was setting in. Off in the distance, the captain saw the light of another ship, and he knew that they were headed quickly onto a collision course. And so the captain immediately notified his signalman and said, "You need to send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees south." Well, no sooner had the lights flickered and the message had been sent that they received a reply, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." By this time, the captain was angry. So his command was ignored. So he sent a second message and said, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain." A few short seconds later, another message was received. "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Smith." Well, immediately the captain sent a third message, knowing that the fear that this would evoke. "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship." And the reply came from the other side. "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse." Now, the lighthouse was just doing its job. And the purpose of a lighthouse is to shine and to warn others that danger lurks ahead. So hopefully the captain stopped being stubborn and moved his ship. Well, in the passage that we're going to look at today, Jesus says that the gospel message is like a shining light. And it is a light that is not to be hidden. It is not to be turned off. It is not to be ignored, but it is a message that is to be heard and shown brightly for others to see and to hear. We're going to hear a couple of very short parables today, the parable of what we could call the lamp and the parable of what we could call the measure of grain perhaps. Two short parables. Last week we looked at a parable that lasted for about 20 verses, the parable of the sower and of the soils. Here we have, by comparison, two very short but nonetheless very important parables this morning. Let me read you the passage beginning in verse 21. Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." In this passage, we see two parables, the parable of the lamp and the parable of the measurement. Measurement, perhaps, of grain. It doesn't really matter what is in the measurement, but it's a simple parable, a simple proverb that by what you measure out, it's going to be measured back to you in kind. And from this passage, with two parables, we see two commands of how we are to come to the Word of God and how we are to handle the message of the gospel. First of all, you need to listen up. You need to listen up. We need to all do that this morning, but that's a lesson that comes straight out of the text here. It says in verse 24 that he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear." In other words, listen carefully. Now, this comes out of his first parable, which is of a lamp, probably an oil lamp. Lamps were often made out of clay, and they would contain oil inside, and they would slowly burn, and they would illuminate a room. These lamps were often put not in a dark place or in a far back corner of the house, but they were put in the center of the room. They were even perhaps put on a shelf that projected out from the wall of the house. Or in some homes, they may even have a special lampstand that was set up in the middle of the room to illuminate the room. And you can imagine how dark it would be before electricity. We got just a little bit of a taste of this on Thursday night, didn't we? The power went out. We were notified ahead of time, and we were grateful for that. So we had our flashlights ready to go, and the kids kept asking all night long, "When's the power going to go out? When's the power going to go out?" They couldn't wait. They were so excited, and to their disappointment, it stayed on all night until it was time for bed. But shortly before we tucked them in and said goodnight, the power finally went out, and they were excited. And then they were all cheery and excited, and they're energetic again, and we had to settle them back down again. But when the power went out, one of my daughters said to me, "Daddy, it is so dark. It is so dark, and the moon wasn't really shining into the window. So, I mean, it was pitch black in that room. You could not see your hand in front of your face in there. And the kids asked, can we get a light in the bathroom so we can get down the hallway if we need to? And I thought, that sounds very reasonable. Let me see what I can find. So I found a battery-operated burning candle, and I put that into the bathroom there. And that way, if anybody needed to get around in the night, they could see and not stumble or hurt themselves. But it would have been silly for me to find a candle, to find a nightlight, if you will, and to put that on the countertop only to cover it up with a washcloth, or only to put a bucket over the top of it so you couldn't see. The whole purpose, obviously, of having a lamp on a dark night is so that you don't hurt yourself, and that it needs to be able to give off maximum light for the safety and for the enjoyment of those who are in the room. Jesus is just making a simple common sense statement here that a lamp is not brought in to put under a basket. It's not brought in to hide under a bed. It's simply put in to be put on display, or even perhaps to be put on a stand. And the reason that he says this is because I think some listeners to Jesus thought, this is strange. Jesus has arrived. He's the Messiah. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. John the Baptist had come ahead of time and said, you need to prepare for the way of the Lord. The kingdom of God is at hand. Make straight the paths in the wilderness. And all this talk and all this hype about the coming of King Jesus. And then what does Jesus do in his ministry? He starts to speak in parables. He starts to hide his message at this important critical turning point in his ministry. And the disciples are thinking, wait a second, we thought this was a public message that needed to be broadcast, and now you're speaking in mysteries? Now you're speaking in secrets? Now, if you will, you're hiding the message that you came to share? What are we supposed to think about this? What are we supposed to do with this? And Jesus is saying, my message, and in fact, my very character, is the light of the world. I have the only message of light that will shine into darkness. So it is a message of light. It is a message of truth. It is a message of hope. It is a message that for a little while is being hidden, but it needs to come back out again. I'm talking with you privately. I'm teaching you and others in parables, but the whole purpose of a light is so that it can be revealed. It's hidden for now, but eventually it needs to be made public. And the responsibility of the disciples, and our responsibility sitting here 2,000 years later as men and women sitting in a church listening to the Word of God, those who read our Bibles at home, our responsibility is to be good listeners. He says in verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He already said this over in verse 9, didn't he? In verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, those who have spiritual ears to hear, those who have spiritual eyes to see, you need to listen up and pay careful attention. In fact, the NET translation of this verse says, if anyone has ears to hear, he'd better listen. That's the idea. Or the Message has an interesting translation too. Are you listening to this? Are you really listening? Because Jesus' whole purpose in teaching is so that people would pay attention. Listening is such an important part of communication. In fact, I would say that many conflicts in marriage really are a result of a failure to communicate correctly. And many failures in communication occur because we fail to what? We fail to listen. So let me give you a very profound piece of advice. Turn the TV off when you're talking to your spouse. Turn the radio down. Take the headphones out. Listen to your spouse and be genuinely interested in what they have to say. In fact, one of the best things that a family can do is sit around the dinner table once in a while and just share a meal, look each other in the eye, ask questions, take a genuine interest in each other, but be a good listener. Don't be like the husband who said, "My wife says I'm a bad listener." At least that's what I think she said to me. Don't be that way, okay? Be a good listener. Pay attention. And that's true in marriage. That's true in parenting. We need to listen to our kids. We need to be genuinely interested in what makes them tick. What gets them excited? What makes them scared? What do they want to do when they grow up? How can we help them to grow? How can we pray for them? Just be a good listener. And I think we spend far too little time thinking about the importance of listening. But friends, communication takes two people. It's like playing a game of catch. You've got a glove in your hand, you've got a baseball in your other hand, and you can throw that ball, but somebody has to be on the other side to receive it, right? Otherwise, there has not been a contact that's been made. Communication takes two people, one who's sending the message, one who's receiving the message, and both sides require effort and thought and love. We need to be good listeners, Jesus says. But here he's speaking not only about just in relationships, he's speaking about the Word of God. Let anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention to what you hear. You see, friends, we believe in what we call expository preaching. Expository preaching is that we believe the best way to approach the Word of God is not to just maybe randomly pick out chapter and verse and jump around throughout the Scriptures, although sometimes even that works, surprisingly enough, but a far more faithful way to come to the Word of God is to study chapter by chapter and to read verse by verse and to seek to understand the Scripture in context, to understand what the author intended for the original readers to hear and understand. And then to say, now what does that mean for me in my life? After we've thought about what Jesus meant by what he said to those that he was speaking to, what Paul meant to what he said when he spoke to the Colossian church or the Ephesian church, what does that now mean for us in our lives? But to be faithful to the context and the original intent of the authors. Expository preaching is drawing out the biblical meaning of the text and letting that text do justice to itself, understanding that it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is worth listening to, and it should be preached faithfully. In fact, let me just show you over in Psalm chapter 19, the importance of the Word of God and why we believe it's important for us to study it out chapter by chapter and verse by verse and to preach it expositionally, revealing or opening up the meaning of the God-inspired text. It says in Psalm 19, verse 7, that the law of the Lord is perfect and that that law revives the soul. It stirs up and actually gives new life to the soul. It regenerates us. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You see, we all are born into this world as simple-minded, naive, susceptible to error. And the Bible helps to instruct and to inform and to make us wise and discerning so that we begin to know truth from error, right from wrong. It says in verse 8 that the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I don't know about you, but when I turn the TV on, I am not rejoiced in the hearts by the news that I hear. Are you? The news in this world today is not rejoicing the heart, but the Word of God will do that, friends. Make sure that you're drinking deeply of the crystal clear waters of Scripture because it will rejoice and rejuvenate and freshen and excite you because it's right, it's true, it's trustworthy. The commandment of the Lord is pure and it enlightens the eyes. Verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord, based on context, this is another reference to the Bible, the fear of the Lord is clean and it endures forever. Isn't it good news that the Bible doesn't get old? It has no expiration date on it. It doesn't apply to one generation or one culture and not apply to another generation or not another culture, but it transcends all people over all times of history and addresses all the different problems of life because it was written by God himself. And God knows you. God knows what you need. And what we find is we study Scripture and we compare what this book says with our own hearts, and as we let it dissect our hearts, as the Bible says that it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces to the division of soul and spirit, as we read it describe our hearts, we think, wow, how does it know so much about me? It's because God knows so much about you. And because your situation is not unique. God has not changed. The nature of men and women has not changed. Our solution of salvation has not changed in Jesus Christ. So really, there's nothing new under the sun. The same things that they needed to hear 2,000 or 3,000 years ago are what we need to hear today. And thus the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Then it says the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And I love verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. So friends, if we have a book that is perfect and sure and right and pure and clean and true and more valuable than gold and sweeter than honey, shouldn't we desire to read and study and know that book better than any other book? Shouldn't we desire to be listeners to the Word of God and to be faithful to study it and to teach it and to preach it so that others can know it and hear it for themselves? We know that Satan, our great enemy, as we saw last week, that he will try and snatch that word. He will literally try and take the Word of God away so that it will not embed itself into a person's heart and rejuvenate them and restore them and cause them to have new life and salvation. Satan's trying to snatch it out. So it takes effort on our part to let it sink in deep. We believe in expository preaching, but perhaps you've never thought about the other side of the coin, and that is what we could call expository listening. Expository preaching is important, but if I preach here Monday morning in this room at 10:30 tomorrow, I probably will preach to an empty room. And I can preach the best sermon in the world, but if nobody's here, what good does that do? It's important to be good listeners as well, isn't it? Because this is a two-person event that I need to study and teach and preach the Word of God, but you need to listen to the Word of God. You need to pay careful attention to the Word of God. In fact, it's this serious. It would be better for you to not even hear it than to hear it and not obey it. So once you hear the Word of God, there is a higher standard that God holds you to. He wants us to hear the Word of God, and He wants us to put it into practice as well. But as far as this idea of expository listening, there's actually a book by that name by a pastor named Ken Ramey. And Ken Ramey makes a very interesting statement in this book. He says, "A preacher's commitment to the Lord is to be prepared every week to stand and deliver His Word. Your commitment to the Lord should be to be prepared every week to sit and receive His Word." He says, "My goal is to be the best preacher possible. Your goal should be to be the best listener possible. When the preacher does his part and you do your part, God's Spirit will effectively use His Word to accomplish His purposes in your life." So I need to prepare, and I need to preach, and you need to prepare, and you need to listen. And together, we are working together, allowing God's Spirit to change us. You say, well, what are some of the ways that I can be a good expository listener? And I say, I'm glad you asked, because let me give you some. Ken Ramey has some in his books. He says, these are some things you can do to prepare your heart for the ministry of God's Word. First of all, read and meditate on God's Word every day. Please don't wait till Sunday morning to open your Bibles up. Please read your Bible throughout the week. This is a rich and precious treasure, and we need to hide it in our hearts, and we need to grow familiar with it. It's a joy to be able to open up and spend 30, 40, an hour in the Word of God, studying it, singing it, praying through it together. But that's not enough of a diet to get you through the whole week. You need to be in Scripture, and you need to be exposing yourself to the whole counsel of God, little by little. And if you have no kind of Bible reading plan, please at least start with something simple, like a chapter a day. Okay, we've got a chapter a day that gets you through the whole New Testament and all of the book of Psalms in 1 year. What better way to spend 5 minutes of your day than to read, or even if you have it on audio, just to listen to the Word of God? But don't just wait till Sunday to read and meditate on Scripture. Secondly, pray throughout the week. Pray throughout the week that you're growing in your relationship and with your conversation with God. Because literally, prayer is us talking to God, and Bible reading is God talking to us. This is a two-way conversation. And we need to be praying and talking with the Lord. We need to be asking God to help us to be receptive to His Word. We need to ask Him as we come to His Word that He will help us to apply it in practical ways. After we hear the teaching, we need to take time to think about it and pray through it and ask God to expose areas of our hearts where we are not currently obeying it. We need to pray throughout the week. We need to also confess our sin. We need to confess our sins so that we are holy and pure and prepared to hear the Word of God, and that there's not sin that is going to block out the message that God wants us to hear. Another recommendation is to reduce your media intake. It's estimated that even an adult spends an average of 4 hours a day watching television. 4 hours a day. Kids sometimes up to 8 or more hours a day on their smartphone or on the tablet or watching TV or playing video games. Constant intake. And you don't think those things send a message? You don't think you're occupying your mind with things? And it's no wonder then that we get angry, and it's no wonder that we get anxious when we're just taking in all of this different content and yet so little time is spent in the Word itself. So cut off maybe some of that media intake and replace that with things that are more edifying. He also recommends plan ahead and schedule your week around the ministry of the Word. What a novel idea. I think naturally we're going to schedule our week around our job schedule because, frankly, we got to be there, right? We got to be there. We got to clock in at the right time. We tend to orchestrate and organize and block out our entire week around that job that we have to go to Monday through Friday. But have we ever thought about perhaps the pinnacle of our week is not our Monday to Friday job, but it's our Sunday morning experience with God? And should that change, even in the slightest sense, how we prepare, how we think ahead, how we prioritize, that maybe we get here a little bit earlier, that maybe we start talking together a little bit earlier over the weekend, that maybe at lunch on Sunday afternoon we talk about what we heard, what we learned, what we were challenged or encouraged by? Could it be that more of our week should really revolve around the ministry of the Word rather than all the other peripheral things? Another encouragement on being a good expository listener is just to be consistent in church attendance. Be consistent. Some weeks you're going to feel like being here, other weeks you're not. But it's good for us to be here regularly under the steady diet of God's Word. And honestly, it's going to be hard for you to even grasp the message of the Gospel of Mark if you're here 1 week and then you're gone two. And then you're here another week and then you're gone three more. And you think, well, I got to church once or twice last month. Is that really the best that we can give to God? Or should we make attendance a priority? I understand that there's extenuating circumstances. I'm not here to judge or point fingers at someone that may have a reason they can't be here, but perhaps we need to give a little bit higher attention and priority to our attendance of church. And the list goes on. I'll just list off the others. Other ways we can be good expository listeners is to go to church with a humble, teachable, expectant heart. Come prepared for God to teach you and grow you and challenge you. Another one is to worship with all of your heart, to enter into our times of prayer, our times of singing, our times of giving, that everything we do is to get you into a spirit of receptivity to the Word of God, to fight off distractions. And sometimes that's not easy. What are distractions that we face? It could be a concern that we have. It could be a noise that we hear. It could be sleepiness. It could be a whole host of different things. But we have to really enter into effort. My wife and I used to sing in the Master's College Chorale, and we'd go on tour in the summers. And one of the things that always struck us is when the conductor, Dr. Paul Plew, would say to the audience at the beginning of our concert, he would say, "This choir is about to sing to you and perform for you, but this is going to take some effort on your part as well. You need to listen to the choir. You need to stay engaged. Don't tune out or just be amazed by the beautiful music, but listen to the words, listen to the content, get connected. Think about how we're singing scripture to you today, and we need to do that as an audience or as a congregation, that it's not merely passive. We are active as listeners when the Word of God is taught and preached. So fight off distractions. It does take effort. Maybe for some of us that means we need to take notes. Maybe for some of us that means that maybe we need to go and listen to the podcast again later in the week to rehear some of the highlights. Maybe that means that we need to talk with others about it, or we need to prepare our bodies and our minds better ahead of time. Maybe it means to read the passage ahead of time so that you know what we're going to be looking at. Typically, again, that's a benefit of expository preaching. Most of the time we're going to be going to the next section in the same book of the Bible. There's a variety of ways, but we need to fight off distractions. Another couple thoughts on being a good listener is to listen with diligent discernment. Listen with diligent discernment, because the standard of truth is always God's Word. It's not my words or my opinions. It's not anyone else's authors or speakers. It's the Word of God. We must test all things against that standard of truth. So be discerning. Be discerning. Be careful. Don't just take people's word for it, but really search the Scriptures like the Bereans in Acts 17 to see if these things are true. And then lastly, prepare the heart and soul. Prepare the heart and soul. We're trying to do that a little bit. Sometimes we'll sing a song right before the preaching where we sing, "Speak, O Lord," or we sing some other, "As the Deer Pants for the Lord." And these are opportunities to prepare our heart and soul. But You know, the moment of silence before our service, that's a chance to just briefly pause and to be able to prepare our hearts for worshiping God and hearing His Word. I like to think of our worship and our study of the Bible like that story of Mary and Martha. You remember that? Mary and Martha were preparing to host a party. It was going to be at Jesus' house, Jesus was going to be at their house, and they were preparing for Jesus to come, and He was going to be the special guest. And so Jesus shows up, and Martha wasn't quite ready yet. And so she's scurrying around the house trying to do all the last minute details. I know how that feels. Some of you know how that feels. And it's stressful, right? You're stressed out. You want to pull your hair out. You want to snap on somebody else. And Jesus says, whoa, Martha, Martha, you're concerned about so many things. Mary is sitting there at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's mad about that. And Jesus says to Martha, Mary has chosen the better thing. She's come just chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen and worship. And sometimes we need to just slow down a little bit and understand this is a sacred place. This is a sanctuary. It's a holy place. There should be a sense of quietness and awe and peace when we come to be with God and hear Him speak to us. Those are some ways, friends, that we can be good listeners. As Jesus says, pay attention to what you hear. But then we come to a second command as we close here in the next few minutes of what we need to do in response to the Word of God. That is, not only do you need to listen up, but secondly, you need to buckle down. You need to buckle down. And by that I mean you need to apply yourself and begin to work seriously at obeying Scripture. Notice what Jesus says in verse 24. He said to His disciples, pay attention to what you hear. And then notice this phrase, with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Because as important as hearing is not sufficient. God always wants our hearing to translate into action. He wants the Word of God to penetrate and to change us. Deuteronomy 26, verse 16, when God gave the Torah, He gave the law to the Jews. He said, this day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. It's not just because He wanted the Israelites to have big heads and be able to pass a theology exam. He wanted them to be different in how they lived. He wanted them to be changed, and so He said, you shall therefore be careful to do them, and listen to this, with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You, Jews, need to be careful to listen to what I say and then to do it with all of your heart. You need to give 100% to obeying what I have given you in my word and with all of your soul. James 1:22 reminds us that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, we're deceiving ourselves. I like how the Expositor's Bible Commentary explains this second parable here, this idea of using what has been measured out to us, and with the same measure that we use, that it will be measured back to us. It says in the commentary, those who are open and receptive to the message of the kingdom now will receive greater and greater spiritual insight from further teaching. But those who are closed-minded and unresponsive will become more and more blind to spiritual realities. Even the little spiritual perception that they once had will be taken away. So what Jesus is doing here is He's saying that just as you use now, it's going to be returned. And sometimes the expression we use is you get out of it what you put into it. You get out of it what you put into it. You take a class online, you take a class and you sit in the class and you listen to the lectures and you take the exams, and at the end of that course, you think, what did I even learn? And a big part of that is, what did I put into it? What did I put in? What kind of effort did I put in? Because if I didn't put much effort in, if I didn't use much of a measure, then I'm not going to get much in return. But so often, if we put in good effort, then we will see God bless us. We need to be open and receptive to the message of God's kingdom. In other words, we need to listen carefully, and then we need to obey the Word of God. And as we are committed to God's Word, and as we're faithful with a little bit that He gives to us, He promised that He will begin to give us more, and then more, and then more. For the one, verse 25, who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I was listening to a sermon by John MacArthur a couple weeks ago, and it was talking about sexual purity and the importance of purity in our relationships. And he made a very good point that he said, so often young people are saying, I just want to know God's will for my life. I just want to know God's will. I want to do the things he wants me to do. I want to know what his will is for who I marry. I want to know what his will is for where I go to school. I want to know his will for what kind of career I have. And the list goes on and on and on of all the things they want to know about God's will. And he says, but so often those young people are not even obeying the will that he already has revealed. Because he says in 1 Thessalonians 4, this is the will of God, your sanctification. So if you can't even be committed to obey the clearly revealed word of God and being holy and pure and set apart in your relationships, why would you expect God to give you more guidance? You haven't even used what already has been given. The one who has more will be given, but those who do not have even what they have will be taken away. God challenges us in this passage, first of all, to be good listeners, and then secondly, to be doers, to buckle down and to be committed to use what has been given to us, understanding that God will repay us by that same measure. You know the parable, right, of the talents? These different servants of a rich man, and the rich man gave out five talents or weights or measures to one man, to another he gave two, to another he gave one. And that man went away for a period of time and came back to see what kind of investment that those different managers had made. And the one who had five talents invested it wisely and multiplied it into ten. And the man who had two talents, he was wise and he used it well and he was content and thankful and he multiplied it into four. And then the one who had one talent, what did he do? It says that he buried it in the ground. He was afraid. He didn't want to use that. So he hoarded it and he hid it and he wasn't a good steward of that talent or that gift that was given to him. And so that one talent was taken away and given to the one that already had ten because he wasn't faithful with the little. Friends, if you want to be doing great things for the Lord, just start with the small things. Just start with showing up for worship service on time. Just show up by bringing your Bible. Just start by making a friend and helping someone. Just start with the small things. And God will begin slowly and surely to give you more and more and more opportunity to serve him and to worship him and to please him. One of the best things I ever did for ministry training was when I was a sophomore in college and I went to the church and I said, how can I serve? And they said, can you go clean toilets? And I didn't say, well, no, I can't do that. I'm going to be a pastor someday. Give me a class to teach. No, I just went and cleaned toilets and I enjoyed it. It was all right. It wasn't my favorite, but it was okay. I just went and I swept and I dusted and I mopped and I scrubbed and I just cleaned the house of God. And God was gracious to give me a joy and a contentment in that, to do it for the Lord. And as time went on, he began to open up other opportunities. And then other opportunities. And then other opportunities. But it's okay to start small. Just start faithful with something little. Start faithful by being a good listener and being obedient to what God has clearly revealed. And then trust he's going to walk you one step at a time. In fact, you're not ready for more than he's revealed to you right now anyway. You're ready for what you have received. Just be faithful and take that. And then as time goes on, he will begin to give you more truth from his word.